10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
My blood sugar is 92 right now, and I ate a hard-boiled egg. Now, Dr. Dave's weather.
Drugged up John. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling every damn night.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane. Touchdown in the land of the Delta Blues, in the middle of the pouring rain. WC handy, won't you look down over me? Yeah, I got a first class ticket, but I'm as blue as a boy can be. Feet 10 feet off a beam, walking in Memphis. But do I really feel the way I feel? Saw the ghost of Elvis on Union Avenue. Followed him up to the gates of Graceland, and I watched him walk right through. Now security, they did not see him. They just hovered around his tomb. There's a pretty little thing waiting for the king down in the jungle room. When I was walking in Memphis, I was walking with my feet 10 feet off a beam. Walking in Memphis, but do I really feel the way I feel? Catfish on the table. They've got gospel in the air. Reverend Green, be glad to see you. When you haven't got a prayer, but boy, you got a prayer in Memphis.
Have you ever been to Memphis? I've been there several times, and it's taken me a long time to reconcile what I felt there with what I'm about to tell you. It's taken me a while to own it. I was there several times for work, but I always built time to just walk around. Memphis is not a driving city. It's not a city get on the bus and see the tour. It's not a tour city. It's a ghost city. Yes, Elvis lived there, gave birth to Lisa Marie, and gave birth to rock and roll with Sun Records. And, oh, there it is. On the left, when you're headed toward Graceland, on the left, concrete block building, it says Sun Records. It says Sun Records. Jerry Lee Lewis. Elvis. It says Sun Records. And it always looks closed, and it's tiny. It's really tiny, but it's sitting there. And you drive past it, and you expect some excitement or people outside waving. People come in and see this. No, there's nothing there except that building. And you drive to Graceland, and Graceland is a self-guided tour. They used to have tour guides, but they realized that that wasn't really necessary. You take yourself through Graceland. And over there is Elvis's jet, rusting. And a gift shop could use a little sprucing up. Graceland has had a number of owners. And the challenge for the owners of Graceland is Lisa Marie. They have to make deals with Lisa Marie. And as the head of the Elvis Corporation told me, a great guy, Jack, he told me, what they've done is they've offered Lisa Marie a $10 million allowance a year. $10 million allowance she was given. And he said they don't understand. She will never be able to live on that. She needed much, much more. And then Dewey Phillips, one of the greatest top 40 disc jockeys who ever lived. There's a shrine to him with his control board and his seats and his WHBQ 50s studio. But the sense is that it's all gone. Whatever was there was gone long ago. And they can prop it up with whatever they want. But to their credit, they don't really try. All of these artifacts are just there. Oh, yeah. And Martin Luther King was murdered there. Elvis died there on the toilet. Martin Luther King was murdered there on the balcony of a lousy hotel motel. And his ghost is there. Elvis's ghost, Martin Luther King's ghost, Jerry Lee Lewis's ghost. They're there. And you can feel them. It's haunted. Every inch of Memphis is haunted. There are other cities like it. One of the interesting facts about Tennessee is that Graceland is not the number one tourist attraction. No, it's not. This iconic, important mansion, it's not the biggest tourist attraction. The biggest insurance tourist attraction in Memphis, Dollywood. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Good evening. This is Sterling Every Damn Night.
Tell you a little story because it happens a lot. Occasionally, especially in a place like Las Vegas where this happened, gentlemen go to a strip club and they're looking for something extra. And one would think that the dancers would be the providers. Well, not necessarily so. In fact, sometimes in the hotels, you'll just see beautiful women just lollygagging around. These women are, well, for sale. They've got love for sale. And it happened in Las Vegas. this last week. We've often told the story that if you're going to commit crime, do it as a team, right? Do it together. Zapri Outlaw, 38. She rolled into an unnamed strip club looking for a target, and she found some unsuspecting tourists at the Jiggle Joint enjoying time and obviously trying to meet a lady for some, you know, extra fun. Zapri and her merry band of co-conspirators dope the guy up, steal his watch, his phone, his wallet. They dump him off at gunpoint as he's coming to, and he finds out of his cryptocurrency account, he's missing $300. That's $300,000, everybody. Yeah, you go to a club. Always order bottles of beer. Keep the bottle of beer in front of you. Never allow someone to go get you a beer or get you a cocktail. They'll put in a Mickey. Now, a lot of times, women know this because of bad things that have happened at college parties. This is more than just a public service. This is about your life. When you go to these places, be careful. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the Loose. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain Inspector Gadget, the guy who's got all the answers and all the tools, who often does more harm than good. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. What happens when you don't like who your children are dating?
Or when you really like them and they decide they don't.
Coming up on Sterling every damn night.
This is Matthias Bohm-Bell. Coming up, my live report on Hollywood and the movies. Only here on Sterling on Sunday.
Cops called to arrest 5-0. Details later, the people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling every damn night. Inspired by teenage daughters.
My daughter's in college. It's $63,000 a year to send this kid to college. $63,000. Yes. For those of you with daughters, you will not be offended when I say that it is worth every penny to get that miserable human being out of my house.
The name of the show is Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm on the air six nights a week. Can you believe that? Phil Zacherly can't believe it either. Neither can Paul Van Zandt. No, Paul Vandenberg. Dave Van Zandt. Paul Vandenberg. I got it. Don't worry. And it's so much fun to do this, especially when I get hate mail. I love the hate mail. Thank you. Please keep it coming. There's an adage in radio that if you don't get mail from people who hate your show, you're in trouble. I'm in no trouble. Not a problem. My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210, because I'm live. This isn't the gold show, the annuities and you show. This is an actual radio show where I look forward to speaking with you. I've got a website where you can find out all of the secrets about the show, WalterSterlingShow.com, WalterSterlingShow.com. We like to count how many hundreds of thousands of Midnight Misfits visit that. We don't have a lot else to do, actually. Actually, I believe that that's true for every company. Every company today is obsessed with their social media presence. How many people go to their website? How many people have downloaded and used their app? The app culture is huge, huge. Well, you know, you have an app? Yes. Well, okay. Do you get 10 million views an hour? Yeah. Okay, good. That's the minimum. We're not going to spend any money on your app unless you get 10 million downloads an hour. That's the bare minimum, and then they go to lunch. They have no idea what they're doing. The ad agencies, the big clients, yeah, we want 10 million views a minute. They throw out numbers about how much they want you on their app. How many visits? How much time? How much time are you spending on the app? They track all of this and think somewhere there's a magic formula. There isn't. The magic formula is engagement. It's when your friend tells you shares with you that this is a really good car. That's how most purchases happen. You go to five people. In our lives, we have five people who we go to, depending on what the product is, depending on what they're doing. We go to them, should I buy this car? Should I get this lawnmower? What do you think about this paint? What do you think about this paint color? Two different people. Paint and paint color, two different people. But it's a one-on-one conversation, and that is why, he said, nothing sells like talk radio. Because you can't listen to it in the background. That's just noise. It's just some guy going on, some woman going, that's just noise. The people who enjoy this, the Midnight Misfits, they listen and send notes and have deep feelings and thank you. But that's the best grounds to sell something. If you waste your money on something that says, and now more music, 10 in a row, we have 10 in a row with commercial free. Why would I put a commercial on something that is bragging about being commercial free? Positioning my commercial is a bad thing. I would never do that. As an advertiser, I would never do that. In talk radio, commercials are a very good thing. We love commercials. We know what to do with commercials. And that's more than enough about that conversation. I like to be with you. And right now, if you're on I-90, the good news is on I-90, it is clear. It's cold and horrible. And the worst rest stops in America are the brand new New York State Thruway rest stops. I hope you don't even get to see them, but if you do, you won't believe it. They spent a fortune. No, they didn't. I take it back. They got businesses to invest and spend a fortune. Didn't come out of the state of New York Treasury. Good for them. Didn't come out of the state of New York Treasury. This was private companies refurbished their rest stops. Okay, good idea. And they, therefore, were aware of all the mistakes of the previous rest stops and corrected them. No. They're all kind of small. And at the gas pumps, if you have an RV, you're going to have a problem. And if you have an 18-wheeler, I believe my friends told me you're going to have a problem. And but the thing that just is awful for Midnight Misfits is this. Not one of those fast food places or stores in the New York State Thruway stops, the new ones, are open 24 hours a day. They're barely open till 9 o'clock. I think Burger King was open till 9 o'clock because we were nice to them, but I think they really closed at 8:30, and then it's closed. There's nothing. That crappy newsstand at the end with overpriced toys, that may be open, but there's nothing there that you and I want. We need real coffee, and we need real snacks, real food. I think that's the only thing that's open. I'd be really curious if that's open 24 hours. I'd be very surprised if it's open 24 hours. But the New York State rest stops, that's just a nightmare. 855-839-1210, Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Kate Martin.
How I eat my popcorn as possible, and we responded really well. I just made popcorn, and our support staff
got stopped.
I love popcorn so much.
They sell, probably. I mean,
we box out.
Boom, boom, Hollywood, Sterling every damn night.
Boom, boom, Mateus is in Hollywood, Mr. California. Many things going on in California tonight. What would you like to cover first?
Well, let's see. It's about 58 degrees and cloudy in Culver City right now, Walter. And we're supposed to get some sun later in the week, but we've just come off of Dave's great weather report. You don't need to hear that from me. What we're excited about in Hollywood is the fact that we finally have the first movie of the year to make over $100 million, and that's Captain America, Brave New World. And we didn't think we're going to have a box office hit yet, because it's been really slow getting started. So here we are in February, and Captain America has made, in 4 days, just 4 days, $100 million. So that bodes well.
What I like is that Harrison Ford is the lead, and it tells me something very interesting about his life. Harrison Ford is in three shows, is in three productions. He made this movie, this Captain America movie, which is a lot of work, a lot of time. Man's over 80, doesn't need to do anything. He's on that show about therapists, the sitcom about therapists, and something else. He's in three things at the same time. And that tells me that Calista Flockhart, his wife, is really, really annoying.
Or expensive.
Well, that's passive. Her annoyance is what drives him out of the house. He's freaking Harrison Ford. And on that that therapy show, which I guess is on, I don't know what it's on, but the therapy show where he's stuck with a bunch of therapists, because it's him, the biggest stars in the world come on that show for bit parts, for cameos. And they do anything just to be on his sitcom. It's a very funny show. He plays a very good role. And then he's in Captain America, and he's in one other thing. I'll have to look it up. But he's in three active productions in the past 6 months. And it's like, Calista must be really annoying, Boom Boom.
You know, I saw them both at the Critics' Choice Awards last year, and they didn't speak much at the table. He received a Lifetime Achievement Award from the critics, and afterwards, when he came off the stage, I spoke to him briefly, and I found him to be, most sincerely, a down-to-earth, really wonderful guy, even though he is such a beloved actor. He was a real human being and very sincere and generous, even though we only spoke for about 2 minutes, but I found him to be just a solid human. And, you know, I can't say that about a lot of people in Hollywood.
He was working as a carpenter when he got the Star Wars part and was right. Fully prepared to go back to being a carpenter if it didn't work out. He came to this job, this role in life, from a foundation of humility, and that usually works out just fine.
Yeah. I think he was actually building an addition on the home of the great writer Joan Didion when he was working. So he hung out with very interesting people early on in life in his carpenter phrase. So, yeah, I think he had a really solid, shall we say, a solid development from a reasonable and rational point of view before glitz and glamour got in the way. And I don't think it ever has gotten in the way for him. But maybe Clarissa may want, because she can, a little bit more cushy lifestyle.
In her first big book, Joan Didion made an observation about California. And her observation was that it is very important for Californians to have a swimming pool. Because they are, in fact, in a desert, and they want to hold their own water, symbolically, literally, but owning a bunch of water is important to Southern Californians.
It sure is. Well, Captain America as a movie is really entertaining, and I didn't think it would be, but of course Harrison Ford, being Harrison Ford, elevates it to a new level. Anthony Mackie is Captain America this time, and the plot of this thing, Walter, is that there is a character that has a nefarious plan to steal this special element that has been found that the president is trying to control and use through various meetings with different countries to keep a lid on it so that it doesn't become out of control with nefarious plans. So anyway, this thing called adamantium is the object that they're all after, and of course, naturally, someone, Tim Blake Nelson's character, steals it and will get it nothing, will stop at nothing to have world control over it. And in the process, a lot of other people get knocked out and strange things happen, as often they do in these comic book movies, which are, to me, basically ridiculous. But Harrison Ford brings it into a great entertainment, and as you can tell, $100 million in just 4 days means that people must like it.
Oh, yes. And yes, absolutely. And having him, who else is in it that we know? Who else besides Harrison Ford?
Well, as I mentioned, Tim Blake Nelson is in the picture. And also there is, we've got Giancarlo Esposito, who is playing the Sidewinder. These are characters that are known to comic book fans. There is Isaiah Bradley, played by Carl Lumbly. He keeps getting triggered by the song, by the Fleetwoods. You remember that song, Mr. Blue, by the Fleetwoods?
That triggers him?
Nefarious. Yeah.
That's so hysterical.
They start playing this.
No, but just stop right there. So this evil character in a Marvel movie gets triggered by the song Mr. Blue. And
actually, he uses that. He has hypnotized these characters. So when they hear that song, they do his bidding to obtain what it is that he's after, this adamantium. And to me, that's very funny because it's so incongruous.
It's hysterical because of the way things happen. That song didn't just get put in by a writer's script. There were 30 guys and women sitting around tables going, well, should it be Mr. Blue or should it be this? I bet you they argued over which song it should be for 3 days. And, I mean, think about it. The insanity that had to go into the thinking and the decisions and the memos, and it had to go up the chain and had to come down the chain, and then they had to get the rights. And
that's right. Do we own it? Do we not own it? Can we use it?
Exactly.
What's it going to cost?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but those things just make me very happy.
And then there's probably someone in that same meeting saying, well, let's see how many unique monthly visits that song has had on YouTube to see if it's going to connect with our audience today.
Yeah.
Back to numbers again.
Exactly. What else? What else is going on? What about the Saturday Night Live special? Did you see that?
I didn't get a chance to see that, but I'm, 50 years of a program on any network indicates that something's been done right, and people have laughed and loved that show for many years. And of course, it was the creative ground from which many of our great comics, comedians, and famous movie stars sprung from. It is certainly a remarkable show. There was a movie that came out last year about Saturday Night, about the first show.
I saw it.
Where they were trying. Yeah, and, although it was relatively interesting, I felt let down because it got right to the moment of airtime, and then the movie's over.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
But the most striking thing about that movie is how many writers they had. And still have. They had between 11 and 15 writers.
That's astonishing.
I know. It's crazy talk. Listen, Matthias, how do we see you on Facebook? What's your Facebook address?
Matthias Bombals Hollywood. That's M-A-T-I-A-S B-O-M-B-A-L. Hollywood, like the city. Matthias Bombals Hollywood. M-A-T-I-S-B-O-M-B-A-L, Hollywood. I thank you, Walter. It's always a gas to be on this program.
Yes, I have gas. Thank you very much for being on Sterling every day and night.
Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true. But if you decide to call on me, I'm Mr. Blue. Oh, oh, when you say you love me,
it's an opera. It's Sterling every damn night.
Now, join lesbians in space.
On the low end of things, because we're both women, there's no man around the house, so the house is just full of spiders.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here. What happens when you don't like who your children are dating?
Or when you really like them and they decide they don't.
Coming up on Sterling every damn night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I explain Inspector Gadget, the guy who's got all the answers and all the tools, who often does more harm than good. Coming up in moments on Sterling every damn night.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and I have a late night story for Midnight Misfits on Sterling every damn night.
Cops called to arrest 5-0. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line.
Sterling every damn night, inspired by Cher.
Cher once told me, if it doesn't matter in five years, it doesn't matter. And I was like, thank you, Cher. Truer words. God, I wish Cher had told me something.
Feel the dough. Eat the dough, J.B. Bakery, Selena and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Can you New Jersey.
Feel the dough.
It's a real bakery, the kind that your grandmother took you to. You walk in, it smells like a bakery. They give you cookies because you deserve cookies. It's so important and significant. I think we're going to listen to the jingle again. I'm glad I gave a heads up on this one.
Feel the dough, eat the dough, JB Bakery, Salida and Steve, Sterling every damn night.
Do you like being on this show, Steve?
Walter, I want to make that jingle my ringtone. How do I do that? I got to figure that out. I love
it. I'll tell you how to do it. Before the end of the evening, Alex is going to email that to you.
Excellent.
So you will have it. And in your email, jbbakery@what?
jbbakery@aol.com. I actually have AOL still, and it works
well. That's
great,
interesting in
it.
Itself. Now, do you have to pay a Steam bill to power the AOL?
I don't think so. But I'm sure I'll make up for it in some way or another. But it works just great, and I love using it. And I love telling people I still have AOL.
I had CompuServe for a very long time, and I saw nothing wrong with that. And then AOL bought CompuServe, diminished the offerings to the point where it was useless, and they pretty much did the same thing with AOL. It's anachronistic. You look at it, it's like looking into the past. It's like about 6 years ago is what AOL looks like today.
Well, I had my own personal email, jbbakery.com, and somehow that got hacked, and now I'm, not working. So I'm just stick with a good old AOL, and I think it's going to last me a long time, and that's how I like to email you. And
it'll last you a long time. But the best thing about AOL and Gmail is they can handle huge files. Smaller companies that have an email address, the files never go through. You need to Dropbox or something. But with AOL and Gmail, you can use huge files. Now, you and I are talking to Steve, the baker, at JB Bakery in Burlington, New Jersey. And first of all, because I actually study the weather as an actual host, do you have a lot of snow, Steve?
We are expecting, there's some kind of rumor saying that we're going to get like a foot of snow this week. I don't know. Yep. Customers are telling me one thing. Employees are telling me another. I think everybody just wants a day off, which I think we're getting
because,
tomorrow.
I think because the Eagles won, the city should have taken the entire week off. You should have been closed. Every city agency should have been closed. The schools, universities. God bless Temple. They closed immediately. No problem. University of Pennsylvania, they managed to stay open through everything a little bit. But Temple, no, we're closed. Boom. A much more pragmatic student body. But I think the whole city should have closed for the week because they didn't think about it. If they had thought about it, the parade in Philadelphia would have been on Monday, last Monday, not Friday. They wouldn't have dragged it out for a week to figure it out. They should have had it all planned. Oh, we won. At 11 a.m. Monday morning, boom, we're going to have a parade. That's how they should have done it.
I totally agree because they had it on Friday, and I had a store full of people for Valentine's Day. But the two, how did the restaurants in Philly make up for the fact that people weren't going out to dinner for Valentine's Day? Like, how did that work? They went to the parade all day, then they went to dinner? I don't know. I thought the restaurants in Philly would have revolted an uproar and say, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to submit, abide by the parade. We're not going to have the parade. I thought somebody was going to do something. I would have liked to have had it another day because I think I would have been a little bit busier on Valentine's Day.
There couldn't be a bigger holiday for bakeries and florists. And then the city of Philadelphia decides to have a 1.5 million person march. And I'm like, what are they doing? They should have had it Monday when everybody would have been happy. Most people tried to get last Monday off or couldn't come to work because of the hangover. What special treat do you have for us tonight, Steve?
Well, Walter, we always have a Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie. That's always a really, really good one. It's the perfect cookie for this time of year, for wintertime.
Yep.
And go and get those eggs. If you can get eggs at a good price, get them. use them in that recipe. Make cookies with them if you have eggs laying around, because you stocked up on them thinking that the price was going to go up even more. Use them in this recipe. The Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookie is always the best. And I'm also going to give you some other recipes this week that use up a lot of eggs. Maybe, somebody, the type of person that went to the store and got them on sale and said, I'm going to buy a bunch of eggs. Or, you have them in your refrigerator and you just want to use them up. So I'm going to give you some recipes that use up a lot of eggs. And also a little tip on how to store eggs. This is what I tell my at-home bakers. Scramble them up, put about a, take the dozen eggs, scramble them up, put about a good tablespoon of sugar or salt into it, because it'll keep the consistency when they defrost. But scramble them up, put them in ice cube trays, freeze them, take them out, put them in a Ziploc bag, and then you have your eggs for whenever you need it. Even if you're not, concerned about the egg prices going up, but you could have them when you forget that egg. You don't want to go bother your neighbor and say, hey, you have an egg that I can use? I'm making Midnight Misfit cookies. You always have eggs in the freezer, and they last.
Midnight Misfit cookies. Midnight Misfit chocolate chip cookies are spectacular, and you're doing nothing tomorrow. Get this recipe. Send me an email, waltermsterling@gmail.com, waltermsterling@gmail.com. Ask for the chocolate chip cookie recipe. I'm Walter Sterling with Steve the Baker. Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Oh my gosh, really?
Look at this horrible weather. Here's Dr. Dave.
Cops called to arrest 5-0. Details later. The people of Walmart. Sterling every damn night.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's your news. You get it all when you set your dial to Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. Good evening, Walter M. Sterling. Good evening to Paul Vandenberg, Michael Ewing, Phil Zachary, Alan First, Steve Moore. God, I'll pray with you, Steve Moore, and Chris Olivero. These are the geniuses that help Sterling on Sunday and Sterling every damn night become available to you. It's amazing to me. I've been doing this for over 10 years, and I've learned nothing. Now, that's the best part. I've learned nothing. Once some idiot, head of programming for some company, Rick, what's his name, had been talking to the program directors in his company, the talk programmers in his company, the program directors who managed to get people well over the age of 80 to come to those shows and listen to them and get on the air and start the conversation by saying, oh, Brad, I'm 83. Never in my life has anybody 23 said, hello, I'm 23. They never say they're 80. But boy, I'll tell you, if somebody's, hello, I'm 83, they'll say it on the air. Even if a screener who talks to them before the host says, don't say your age on the air. I won't. I promise. You got to promise that you won't. And boom, they get on the air. Hello, I'm 83. Hello. No, don't do it. People hate you at the radio station if you do that. Just don't do it. You don't need to do it. You don't need to prove you're viable. Your name isn't Biden. You're not viable. Here's the thing. There was some point to this. Oh, yeah. So these program directors got together in a cabal. They listened to my show, and then they get on the phone, and their chief programmer, who has, to my knowledge, only started up a sports station, never one of these, gets on, and then he says to me, well, I have some feedback from our program directors, and I know you want honest feedback. No, I don't want honest feedback, not from your program directors. No, but he wasn't being paid by my company. He wasn't consulting my company, and he had no intention. He had no intention of putting this show on WIBC, which is where it should be. He had no intention. He's going to stick with the gold show. You know, they're going to do everything they can to stick with the old lady shows. Let's just see. You know, this is a terrible thing to do, but WIBC's in Indianapolis. Let me just see what's on the air on WIBC right now. What's on the air? What is better than this? You know, to hear somebody talking about their blood sugar, it's really hard to beat. Let's see. Show schedule, WIBC. Hold on. We're on the internet. It's going to be very exciting. Oh, no, we don't want this. We don't want that. So we'll click on Sunday, and I'll bet you it's killer show. I bet you these are the winners. Hold on a second. Accept cookies. This is a nightmare. Oh, my God. It's worse than I thought. What the heck? All right. From 5 to 8 p.m. is Kim Komando. And then The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather from 8 to 9. And then there's nothing at 9. It jumps right to 10, where you can listen to a guy screaming at the Democrats. That's what we want, isn't it? We want a guy screaming at the Democrats at 11:12 Eastern on Sunday night. You'll be happy to know that on I-90, it is now clear, Keith Mortensen, but more amazing. I put it on the Walter Sterling Facebook page. In the toll plaza of the Jersey Turnpike, it looks to me like it's near the Lincoln Tunnel, an 18-wheeler in the toll plaza flipped over on its side. How does it do that in a toll plaza? Keith Mortensen, would you please get on the phone and tell me, how does an 18-wheeler flip over on its side in a toll plaza? That interests me a lot more than screaming at the Democrats, because I think it's covered. You know, I think that's covered. All right, what else we got? We have to talk again about the towels at the Jersey Shore. This may seem like an innocent topic, but the fact is that the Jersey Shore has the most bizarre culture when it comes to vacationers. Now, I'm going to tell you this in Sacramento, New Mexico, Albuquerque, Texas. I'm going to share this with you, and you won't believe it, but I swear it is true. You ready? At the Jersey Shore, if you rent a house for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the houses do not supply towels. Well, now, that's no big deal. I'll bring towels. Think it through. How much room do towels take up? And all that crap you have to pack up between your grandmother and your kids. Think about that. It is crazy talk. Okay, you call them. You say, I'd like to rent towels.
How many people do you have?
We have 6 people in the house.
All right, you'll need 3 of this, 2 of this, 6 of this.
Well, I'd like some more of that.
No, you don't. This will really be fine.
And let's pretend this conversation happened right now in February. Oh, you're very lucky to have gotten through. Because we're almost done. What do you mean you're almost done? It's February.
We're almost done with the towels. We're soon going to have no more towels.
Oh, really? I have to call in January?
Yes, you're very lucky. I don't know what happened. Maybe there was a scandal at JB Bakery. I don't know what the problem is. But for some reason, we have an extra week of towels for you.
All right. And then what happens?
Make sure they're near the front door on the day you leave to be picked up. Because if they're not near the front door, we charge you for all of them as though you stole them.
That's a Jersey, remember. And that's how they do towels at the Jersey Shore. And if you think you're going to bring them, you're crazy. Between washing them and taking up all that room in the car, it's not going to happen. Good evening. Look at the time. My God, it's great. I love doing this show. It goes boom, 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 boom. But I want to talk to you, and that's why I do the show. My number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Walter M. Sterling every damn night.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
Ooh. I think
that's why other gay ladies get so many cats. Right? Yeah, they buy the cats to catch the spiders that live in the crafts that clutter the house that lesbians built.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
And we're here to talk about living with 8 kids in our old house. A lot of our kids are older teenagers and even some adults, and so there's dating going on.
Yeah, and I'm not really a fan of how it starts, of the relationship drama, of the fact that we have to invite other people into our house for holidays that we're supposed to like.
Yeah.
When they're not really part of the family yet, it's weird.
And to be honest with you, sometimes we don't like the person they're dating. So that's a little difficult to deal with, very touchy situation.
Yeah, you want to be able to guide them and help them learn, but at the same time, our personalities don't match their personalities, so they're going to like people that we don't necessarily like.
And on the other hand, there have been ones that we really thought were fantastic, but they turn out to be jerks.
Total dirtballs after they con us all into thinking that we're great.
So maybe our opinion really isn't the best.
That's kind of what I'm starting to think. So let's just go into it right now. We have one kid that is just starting to dating people that we kind of like. Everything's great there. We have other kids that really don't bring their significant other home at all. And then others who want them to just come be like a complete and total part of their lives. And I really, really need advice in this part of the parenting journey. We're learning from the time these kids are born up until they're out of the house and beyond. And I still haven't got this right. Do I tell them that they're a dirtbag? Do I tell them that I love them? I've been keeping my mouth shut because I think that's the best thing that I can do.
Right. There's no manual. Just like when they're little, there's no manual. There's no manual when they're getting to become teen. There's no manual on this. No one has ever explained what we're supposed to do. Should we meddle or stay out of it?
So I guess what I'm saying here is I think we should stay out as much as we can. We should give them guidance, but I need your guidance as well. So if you could find me on social media at Just Being Mom on Instagram, I'm happy to take your advice.
Sterling Every Damn Night listeners, you could really help her with this for sure. Find her on Instagram, Just Being Mom. And I'm on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
Message me. Let me know how not to become the intrusive mother-in-law.
Dan and Becky, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by happiness.
If you're not happy single, you won't be happy taken. Happiness doesn't come from relationships. It comes from making fantasy football trades on ESPN.
All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Sterling Every Damn Night. We're here every Sunday from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. on this radio station, KFBK, KMOX. Please, Jesus, be on KMOX. Oh, my God. We've had technical problems you don't want to know about that I don't understand. And I am so mature at this point in my career that I did not dig in. I did not lean in to these tech problems. Because why? Because I'm a technical moron. I can't solve these problems. Meanwhile, we have the best chief engineer who ever lived. Yes, that's right. The best technical engineer who ever lived. His name is Dave Scalish. We have to get a jingle for Dave. Dave Scalish. And I can't begin to tell you how brilliant he is. The way it works at most radio stations, a lot of inside radio today. The way it works at most radio stations is there is an analog chief engineer in charge of the tower and the transmitter and the wires. And then there is a digital engineer, chief engineer in charge of IT, in charge of the IT, the websites, email. And both of them say the same thing to me all the time, which is, no, I can't give you a pass to get into that room. That's what they always say to me. Well, could you activate my card, my ID card, so I can go in there? No, what do you have to go in there for? And but I met about a year ago a man named Bob Carl. And Bob Carl, to me, is the embodiment of a great sound engineer and producer. Partly because he's been doing it for 50 years. Bob Carl. When I do the show from New York City, when I do it from Odyssey's beautiful headquarters in New York City, Bob Carl helps me out. He meets me at the door. Before Bob realized that I was coming to the building, the people at the news stations who were supposed to help me out, they treated me like dog crap. They didn't want to know. They weren't going to help. They do the bare minimum. They made 10 phone calls. You know, it's Sunday night, guys. It doesn't matter what you're doing. What matters is what I'm doing. But everything changed when Bob Carl got wind that I was coming to the building. Bob Carl, been in New York City production and radio for 50 freaking years. And he meets me at the door, and this is what he said. He said, when I found out that they were going to put you in an edit room, I was outraged. I said, Bob goes, I told them, don't you know who that is? Don't you have any idea who he is? And, you know, they're all looking at the ceiling, looking around. They had no idea who I am. And that's fine. But Bob thought I was a big deal. Trust me, it's barely true. And listen, the Broadcasters Foundation of America would be giving me awards if they thought that I was a big deal. So they don't think I'm a big deal. Sure, I raised $10,000 for them, but what the hell? And so Bob Carl meets me, gets me through security, which is a dream because it's hell in New York, gets me on the elevator, we go. He sits me in the WFAN studio, which is the most magnificent radio studio in the free world. It's huge. It has cameras. It has television lights. I have no idea where I'm supposed to sit, but Bob says sit there and everything will be fine. And then way over there is Bob behind a glass, has to be 50 yards away. I'm not kidding. I've never seen a studio this big. What do you need, Walter? What do you like to drink? What kind of soda do you want? Do you have something to write with? Are these headphones good for you? All the things that every control board operator and producer should be doing for me, Bob did. It was a dream. And every time I came, it was the same thing like that. Bob Carl. And then he had been the control board operator for all the legends, for Cousin Brucey, for Dan Ingram, for all the guys at FAN. He worked with all the legends. He had a story about every one of them. I couldn't wait when doing the show from there for the commercial break so Bob could tell me another story. Bob could tell me about the time that Dan Ingram threatened to quit if the other engineers didn't stop bullying me. The other engineers were giving Bob a hard time. And Mr. Ingram said, he was the star of the station, he said, I went to the head of the union and I said to the guy, if you don't cut it out, I'm going to resign. And I'll let them know why. Okay. There was not another nanosecond. So Bob Carl passed away 2 weeks ago. And he was a great friend of mine. And he was a great friend of New York City radio, which is a unique animal. It's a unique animal. And you almost have to be raised in it. I'm not saying it's a special set of skills. It's just helpful if you were raised in it. And I was very lucky. My first job out of college was at an FM radio station in New York City, like Mitch Lebby. And all those people were my graduating class. I got to work with all those professionals at the first job I had for the rest of my career to this day. That's just kind of how it works. The New York City radio guys are pretty much a mafia. You know, it's pretty much a mafia. Like, they're not letting any new people in. So I'm grateful for that help and for your support, gentlemen. But Bob Carl, a great man, a great broadcaster, a great friend of Sterling every damn night, I am grateful to you, sir. Thank you, and God bless. What a good guy. Walter M. Sterling, I'm here every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. to get you from the horror of the weekend, being stuck with your family and your children and that weird relative from Des Moines, to where you're safe at work, where you know how things are supposed to go, you know where you stand. Get you safe at work. This is what very few people don't understand. Very few people understand about introverts. We don't really like the weekends or vacation because it's a lot of random socializing. That's very bad for us. That's very bad for us. We like to go to work and we know where things are and there's no trouble. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every night, inspired by Jimmy O. Yang.
I'm not Korean, I'm Chinese. And he looked back to his friends, he's like, oh, pinche chinito, huh? And I'm like, sir, you do know that I can understand what that means, okay? I have Mexican friends back home just like you. He was like, no, I'm not Mexican, I'm El Salvador. And I'm like, oh, great, now I'm the racist.
If you don't have retired parents, basically what that means is that now I call them up on the phone and they've been answering the phone as a team. I don't know why that started, but they're just like, the phone's ringing? Well, we better both hop on this. Who knows who's calling? What? Just hello, hello, you're on speaker. Why? Why am I on speaker? Every time I call them, I'm on speaker. I'm like, Dad, why am I on speaker? He's like, anything you can say to me, you can say in front of your mother. Is she your attorney? Why is counsel present? What's happening?
Which is the easiest city to get laid in Pennsylvania? Most Pennsylvanians know that the hardest city to get laid in Pennsylvania is Altoona. So which is the easiest city to get laid in Pennsylvania? Fifth place, Greensburg. Greensburg, scoring 67.5 on the Get Laid score, has one bar and three colleges, facilitating easy social interactions and a vibrant young adult scene. Fourth place, Lancaster. Lancaster, with a Get Laid score of 70.4, features seven bars and six colleges, creating a dynamic social environment conducive to meeting people. Third place, Bloomsburg. Bloomsburg, holding a Get Laid score of 72.9, offers two bars and one college, facilitating frequent encounters and fostering a close-knit community atmosphere. In the second place, Westchester. Westchester, scoring an impressive 81.9 on the Get Laid score, boasts four lively bars and a college, enhancing its appeal as a social hub for singles. The easiest city to get laid in Pennsylvania? The city ranks first with a Get Laid score of 83.2, has two colleges and one bar, ensuring vibrant social interactions, primarily driven by student activities. That's Indiana.
11:39 in Philadelphia, 11:39 in Indiana, and 8:39 in Sacramento. Good evening, I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling Every Damn Night. Every day. Yeah, I'm on six nights a week. Now, if you want to hear me on other nights, all you have to do is get the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, the Audacy app, and you can hear me every damn night. It's a shock to all of us. It's especially a shock to the people who own the company. They never expected this.
Hi, I'm William Devane.
And I don't know why he knows about gold. What would he know about my 401k? That's always been very disturbing to me that William Devane is giving out advice about my 401k.
In England, the private schools produce a different kind of person. They produce an upper-class person. I'm not very keen on it. I didn't want my own children coming to me and sort of, hello, Daddy. So I think it's essential for them to be able to deal with ordinary people like the postman, the milkman, the man in the shop, to try and bring them up as ordinary as we can. So they go to the ordinary schools, they got ordinary friends.
Yeah, Paul, let me help you. They're not ordinary. They never will be ordinary once it internalized that who their daddy was. Of all of those guys, all them rock stars, he does strike me as the most sane, quote, quote, normal one. And those kids are lucky. My kids go to public school. I take it back. My kids mostly went to public school. My 12-year-old, my 13-year-old, oh my gosh, she turned 13 on Valentine's Day. She's a Valentine's Day baby. She turned 13 on Valentine's Day. She goes to a school for kids who have apraxia. They're gifted with apraxia and autism. And if you met her, she, quote, presents normal because she's smart and she knows which words that she can say that she needs no help, and that's what she's going to use to talk to you. She'll also mimic gestures, catchphrases, idioms. She repeats all of that to appear presenting normal, but she has a bunch of challenges. I hate it when I hear people say these kids have special needs. I like the word challenge much better because, yeah, she has some challenges. I had some challenges. You have some challenges. And that's what I've said to her. I said, listen, everybody you meet has something. Could be flat feet that bother them unless they're wearing orthotics. They can't even run unless they have orthotics in. It could be that they're left-handed. They can't stay skinny. They are blocked in math. They could never do math or they could never do English. Everybody has something. And that's what I explained to her. And that's working so far. I always was afraid when she was little of the day that she realized that she was, quote, quote, different. I was always afraid of that day. But she's smarter, wiser, and more gifted than I am. And it's not an issue for her. I even once asked her, there are kids there at her school that have bigger challenges. I said, does it bother you when this one can't stop yelling? Does it bother you when this one falls asleep in class? None of it bothers her. None of it. No. And, you know, you could maybe help them sometimes when they're having a problem. Really? Yeah, you might be able to help them. Well, so she does. And that's the situation we are with her. But I have to keep her in this school. And she started this year, and we have to keep her in the school. I don't even want to tell you how much it is. We're looking at every possible resource to make sure she gets to stay in the school. And then I have a junior in college at Purchase, New York, sophomore in college at Purchase, New York. And she sent home a photo last night to me, not her mother, of her and her Valentine date. And we had heard about the Valentine date, but this was a very serious date. And they've told each other they love each other. And my daughter has a girlfriend. They are both women, and they love each other. The good news is, totally fine with me. Totally fine with mom. It's okay. And when she told me that she was bi a couple years ago, we were in the car going to dance class, poetically enough, and she told me that she was bi, and I looked at her and I said, and I knew that whatever I said at that moment would determine the nature of our relationship for the rest of our lives. If I said the wrong thing, it'd be over. Girl tells me that she's bisexual. If I say the wrong thing as her father, it'd be over. She says, I say, you're bi. I said, does that mean I'm going to have to pay for two weddings? And we've been fine ever since. There's been no problem ever since. And then my oldest one is at Syracuse University, where it's always 22 below, and it's 22 below right now. And she's having a lot of problems with anxiety. She's having a lot of trouble getting it together and going to class. And she doesn't have a problem getting it together to go to other places. It isn't agoraphobia. She's nervous about going to class because she's missed so much class. And I said, well, no one's going to laugh at you. No one's going to make fun of you. Just go. And I said, stop thinking about it, because I know the analysis with the therapist and her mother goes on. And I'm from Jersey. Look, you're there. You're paying for it. Just go to class. What happens after that is none of your business. Does that make sense to you? My phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm Walter M. Sterling every damn night.
Your heart.
Walmart.
Sterling Shop. Walmart. Sterling Shop. Walmart.
Dateline. Humble, Texas. Yeah, it's a humble place in Texas. Part of the whole Houston area. Walmart's aplenty. Several Walmarts, if you've never noticed, they will hire off-duty police officers just to make sure that the people know they can't steal from Walmart. It's a great idea. It also allows police officers to meet people in their community. It's a win-win. Deputy Constable Perry Wesley has been working at several Walmarts in the Houston area. A little side hustle. They get paid pretty good money, by the way. Work that, 10 hours a week. It's a win-win. He decided
that the value's not cheap enough. He was going to do some five-finger discount. His supervisor, who has the best name for a cop ever, Constable James Smokey Phillips, says he was just numb for words. Why would you do something dumb like this? Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt. If you've been married for a while, you know what I'm talking about. There are days you hate your spouse. It also gives you opportunities to say, oh, I could steal from this Walmart. And I have a feeling that officer was beginning to see all the opportunities, probably understanding all the things that were being taken from that store and figured, you know, why not? Join in. They're not catching anybody anyways. I'll do it. $1,900 worth of theft. If convicted means this poor feller is going to lose his cop pension. He's also going to lose his job, respect in the community, and so much more. And perhaps do a little time in the pokey. Generally speaking, if you are going to commit a crime and go to jail, the last person you would want to be, other than a child molester, is a cop. They're not high on the police in jail. So do yourself a favor. Stealing is a temptation that many of us have. It could be relatively innocent. It could be a pack of gum or a Goodfellas bar or something like that. When you're a police officer, committing crime ain't a good idea. Keep off the street. Don't do the crime. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
Sterling every damn night. Inspired by flashers.
Women need to flash their men as much as possible. Coming out of the bathroom, flash them. Walking through the living room, flash them. Pulling out of the driveway, flash them. Mowing the lawn, flash them. Just flash them.
Sterling every damn night. Here we are across the country, across America. This is a we've been on for 6 years, I think. Yeah. Phil Zachary joined us recently at WGAN, but Paul Vandenberg has been here since day one in Albany, keeping an eye on Governor Hochul. And that must be a ball. She looks so unpleasant, that governor of the state of New York. You should be very grateful that you do not have her as your governor. She just looks very ungrateful. And then I was thinking just now about some of the wacky rules moms have. One of them is my mother had a man come in once a week to clean our house. And that was nice. He came in to clean. He was a very nice man. And but not my room. Well, why doesn't he clean my room? Look at your room. I'm not going to have him take half a day in your room. If you want him to clean up your room, clean it up. And I always thought that was odd since he was supposed to be doing the cleaning up. But not for me. This went on for years and years and years. But then I learned something really interesting about my parents. Very interesting about my parents. You could walk to the Erie Lackawanna New Jersey Transit train station from our home in Maplewood, New Jersey. It was a pleasant walk for people who are in Mad Men. But then one day, Jimmy stopped coming. He didn't tell us he was going to stop coming. He just stopped coming. Now, Jimmy happened to be an African American. And finally, after a month or so, my dad called him up and said, "Hey, Jimmy, we miss you. What's going on? Is there anything you need help with? Can we do something for you?" And then Jimmy said he wasn't going to come again. My father said, "Well, did we do anything wrong?" "No, no, no, Mr. Sterling, that's not it." And it took a while for my dad to get the truth. And the truth was that when Jimmy walked from our house in Maplewood to the New Jersey Transit train station, he was harassed. People would drive by, say horrible things to him, terrible racist comments, and he became afraid to walk from our house to the train station. He became humiliated to walk from our house to the train station. He was not going to do it.
And my father and my mother both said, please come. We will pick you up at the train station. We will drive you back to the train station. We will be happy to do it. And those are my parents. It wasn't even a conversation. It wasn't even a maybe. They would do whatever they needed to do to get Jimmy comfortable. It's like when we'd go to the Jersey Shore, when he'd go to Asbury Park, when we went to Asbury Park, sometimes over there on another blanket, there'd be a gentleman, his wife, maybe his kids. But then the man had a tattoo. And there weren't a lot of tattoos then, but this tattoo was odd. And my father saw it, and this happened more than once. My father saw it. He went up to the man. And those were concentration camp numbers on that man's arm. But my dad, he'd go up to the man, and I could tell he was being gentle and quiet and just let the man say what he wanted to say. You were in the camps. How was that? How are you now? That's about all my father would ask. He'd just let him talk about it and show him respect. And that's how my parents handled the world. It was one-on-one. It was quiet charity. It was one-on-one helping another person. Never, you know, they didn't do a big fun drive. They never did fun drives. They never did, massive events and make big speeches. No, it was just always one-on-one. They saw the opportunity to help somebody. They would help somebody. And they never preached to us, to the kids. They never said, that's what you have to do when you see somebody in trouble. That's what you need to do. No, they never said that. They led by example. When there was trouble, somebody needed help, they helped them to the best they could. They didn't announce it. They didn't tell us. But in retrospect, in later years, I can tell. And it was a good example. Good power of example. Attraction, not promotion, ladies and gentlemen. Attraction, not promotion. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Look at you. We're live. Sterling, every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Horrendous snow in the eastern part of America. Dr. Dave Weather.
And I'm a misfit, oh. First thing on my mind is to get rich, oh. I'm a misfit, that means I don't fit. Nah, I don't fit in. I just bought a coupe, baby girl, get in. Lord, forgive me, I know I'm a sin tonight.
Dave Scott, known Canadian metaphysicist, ufologist, excellent theories on Bigfoot, Sasquatch, and of course, the pyramids. Dave Scott, welcome to Sterling Every Damn Night.
Walter, my friend, it is always good to be with you and kicking off a brand new week with your Midnight Misfits. It always makes me happy.
I have news for you. Are you ready for your news?
Oh my, yes.
A new Dave Scott jingle has been advanced to us. And First I'm going to play your established old jingle. Okay. And then I'll play the new one. That's the one that we're used to. Now, you and
yes.
I, for the first time, really, you and I, for the first time, really, are going to hear the new jingle together right now.
Okay.
The treaty stated the aliens would not interfere in our affairs and we would not interfere in theirs. We were particularly interested that they do not interfere with anything that would affect our future. We would keep their presence on Earth a secret. They would furnish us with advanced technology and would help us in our technological development. They would not make any treaty with any other Earth nation.
Alex, does it break into song at some point? Got it. There's a rundown, basically, of your theories on UFOs and aliens in a snappy pattern. How do you feel about that?
I'm excited. It sounds very mysterious, and I like that.
You know what we could do, Alex? We could actually mix them. We could actually run the talking over the jingle.
and it would probably work good enough for this show. Not for a real show, not for a morning zoo, but it'd be good enough for us. Yeah, why don't you try it right now, Alex? This is very exciting, don't you think, Dave?
I think I'm pumped. Yeah. I'm pumped up.
Pumped. Okay, go ahead, Alex. Let's see. Well, it needs some work, but it's a good idea. Why don't we work on that over the next 2 or 3 days? We'll have 8 people on it, Dave, and we'll make it come out.
Perfect.
Good. We'll make it come out.
Love
good.
It.
Now, what I is it, 20 it. Below where you are? Is it 20 below where you are?
No, it's warmed up to about 25 degrees Fahrenheit. The snow is falling, and it's been falling all day, and it's beautiful out right now. I almost want to go jump in my backyard and just roll around.
You can do that. Don't let your kids see you.
Oh, I'd bring my son with me. Absolutely. Because I need to, you know, wrestle him in the snow. That's for sure.
You need a witness is what you need. You need someone to explain your behavior to your wife.
Well, you know what? I would actually get her to referee. So when I hook the leg and pin him for the 3 count in the snow, at least I could say I won.
Yes. Mr. Scott, do you have UFO news for us?
Well, not news particularly, but I got a good story for you, Walter.
Yes, we love stories.
Because I was preparing for this. And this Friday night on Spaced Out Radio, which you can hear on YouTube after Walter's show, I have a gentleman coming on named Jason Sands, who is one of the whistleblowers who has come out in the last within the last year about his story while being employed by the U.S. government. His story is basically that he is a contactee and a super soldier. Now, what is a super soldier? This is where it gets interesting, Walter. There are many people who've come out and claimed that there is this program that the United States government has called 20 and Back. So basically, they recruit you as a youngster. They put you through a bunch of tests, and you don't even know what's going on. And then all of a sudden, you vanish at about 18, 19, 20 years old. And during this time, you are actually gone for 20 years. But when you come back, they've regressed you to being where you were before you left. And yet, a lot of these 20 and back whistleblowers claim that they have memories and screenshots of doing everything from being on Mars to being at bases on the moon to being a part of some sort of intergalactic war with aliens up in space while being on spacecraft. Now, Jason Sands claims that in one of his stories back here on Earth, that at Area 51, he was on patrol during a test run, and him and his buddies, they were in this Jeep, this vehicle, maybe a Humvee, driving through the desert of Area 51 when they came across this person that was waving them down. And when they got to the person, it wasn't a person at all. It was a blue-skinned alien who was asking if he had any parts with him or knew where he could get any parts to fix his oval-shaped craft that he could take off in. And Sand says, well, we don't have those parts, but if you go over that hill over there, which is where the Area 51 base is, they could probably help you out. The alien refused to do that, saying, no, if I go over there, they will kill me. And we're going to find out about the 20 and back program because it sounds so unreal. It sounds so fake. But there are many people who've come out as whistleblowers saying that this program is real. The United States has a secret space program that they can fly up in space, including many of the black triangles that people see outside or these giant cubes that people see. And that it is actually American technology that we know nothing about.
I believe it's absolutely true. And I believe that pretty much every
theory that the X-Files advanced is true. There were the super soldiers in the X-Files. And
yes.
And then I happened to be friends with Cancer Man, the actor who played Cancer Man, William B. Davis. And I said to him, did like the CIA or anybody come by and chat with you guys? He said, no, but I met somebody in NASA. I met a high-ranking intelligence person in NASA. And what he said to me was, you have no idea how close to the truth you are. So that's a pretty good day.
That would be an amazing day. And, you know, we're seeing more people come out about this. Now, Jason Sands, for the most part, is being absolutely ripped up by the skeptics, saying that his story is out of fantasy land. There's no way this is possible. There is no evidence. There is no proof. But he is steadfast by what he has gone through. And you know what? I'm willing to go down that rabbit hole to see, because this isn't the first time that I have heard of this 20 and back program. About 10 years ago, a gentleman named Randy Kramer came out. He really didn't give his name right at first. He went under Captain K, came out online basically saying Hello. This program is true. And now
I can't hear
we're
Dave.
Getting it all again.
Hello? Dave
Hello?
Has disappeared from me.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Hello? Okay. That's the legendary Dave Scott.
Okay.
Now
Walter, I'm here.
Yeah, now I can hear you. I'm looking forward to the memo on this one, boy. Let me tell you. Go ahead.
I'm saying aliens. It's aliens or the government that just cut me off there.
Well, I'm sure it's the government, because, you know, this is such a controversial show, Dave. It's just unbelievable the things we talk about. Chocolate chip cookies, a lot about lesbians, and then there's
absolutely
you. It's a sea of broadcast.
I know. Do we have time for me to continue where I missed,
yes,
do we got to wrap
please,
up?
No, please continue. You're a broadcaster. I trust you to end it when it should end.
Okay. Well, about 10 years ago, there was a gentleman named Captain K who came out in these online forums. Remember when we had online forums before social media took off? Well, he
right.
came out on these online forums
right.
saying
right.
that he was part of this 20 and back program. And that he actually, in the 20 years, spent up in Mars, living underground, fighting aliens on the surface because humans could not get underground or on ground due to not only a lack of atmosphere, but because of these alien species that were actually on there that were hunting down humans. Now, if we fast forward to what Jason Sands is saying now, 10 years later, it kind of coalesce with that. Not that Jason has any reminder of being on Mars, but for him to say that he has recollection of being part of an alien war and helping the good aliens versus the bad aliens in the Van Allen belt, then it kind of just makes it more woo, but it makes the story a hell of a lot more interesting, Walter.
That is pretty interesting. Dave Scott, spacedoutradio.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Sterling, every damn night.
Now, join the lesbians in space.
I know there's some other people out there, too, besides just lesbians. That's what's great about a lesbian army. You don't have to be a lesbian to be in my army. No, because you know what's great about lesbians? Lesbians look like everybody.
Sailing every night, the car bar is alive. Talking jive, bullets over trailer parks under the moonlit sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets this guy.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about Inspector Gadget. Now, I'm not talking about the Lovables 1980s character who had every gizmo up his sleeve. I'm talking about NYPD members that read Soldier of Fortune magazine. Back in the day, they were always looking at catalogs for police equipment. And today, I'm sure they're scouring the internet. And basically, the equipment that the NYPD gives them or issues them, it's not good enough. These guys spend all this money on these toys that they hope one day is going to enable them to save the day in the 11th hour. One of these guys, when I was on patrol, screwed up my day. My partner and I got called out to a high-rise building where a couple of people got stuck in an elevator between floors. While we're waiting for emergency service to arrive, this guy shows up with a Halligan tool. Now, a Halligan tool you use to, like, pry people out of pinned cars. You can use it if you know what you're doing to open up an elevator door, but this guy had no training in it, and he says, stand out of the way. I'm going to handle this. I go, what are you doing? He goes, well, you want these people out. Before I could say no thank you, this guy shoves this tool into the elevator. He starts bending and prying. He basically butches this elevator door. He opens it about a foot where it shows the tops of people's feet because they're stuck between floors. They're starting to panic. Emergency service arrives, and they're asking me, why'd you let this idiot do this? All they had to do was stick this round key in the center door of the elevator. The elevator came back to the floor and opened up. Well, that's great. All the people get off the elevator, but guess what? The condo association now wanted to sue us for doing damage to their elevator. Another Inspector Gadget story I have was when I was a detective in the auto crime division, we got called out to this junkyard. Inside the junkyard, there were stolen cars and parts and a backhoe that was used to pull things around. The owner of the junkyard didn't want to cooperate and didn't tell us how to start this thing. Inspector Gadget figured out how to start this backhoe, and before you know it, he's pulling cars out and moving things around. Problem was, he didn't know how to operate a backhoe properly. And what he wound up doing was, he ruptured a hydraulic line, and the next thing you know, this thing is spilling hydraulic fluid out of its sides, and the thing comes to a grinding halt. Next thing you know, when this guy gets out of jail, the owner of the junkyard, he wants to sue the auto crime division because someone did damage to his backhoe. So, more often than not, Inspector Gadget do more harm than good. So for more behind-the-scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Sterling Every Night, inspired by Larry David.
None of your business. How about that?
Public Shame Radio.
Sterling Every Damn Night.
For Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Good to see you. I'm about to ruin that with some real stupidity here. For our first Florida story, there's a woman who has some addiction issues. She gets busted. Now, once you get busted and you know you have priors, you got to know that any other time that you have an interaction with cops, you get pulled over, anything like that, then the cops are going to be extra suspicious of you. And so maybe you want to try and keep a low profile. Well, at some point, this woman went to the store and saw a bag. Now, on it, it said definitely not a bag full of drugs. Now, I don't mean somebody wrote on it with a Sharpie. It was not embroidered, but what is that, screen printed on there? And so she gets pulled over. You're not going to believe what they found in it.
In Brevard County, 10 days after getting out of jail, a woman is back behind bars facing new drug charges. The sheriff says, quote, you just can't make this stuff up. That's because they found Taryn Acree with a bag that reads, quote, definitely not a bag full of drugs, end quote. Deputies say it was filled with meth, along with Narcan, needles, and other paraphernalia. Acree was arrested and charged with selling meth. She is now being held without bond.
You know, at least she had the Narcan in there, though. She's a well-seasoned Florida person. If you're not familiar, Narcan's what you take when you overdose. So she was just ready to party there. Sorry it got interrupted. But it's just like I almost feel like you don't believe me when I say that. Because, oh, yeah, the guy on the radio is making stuff up. No. a Florida woman who has priors was keeping her drugs in a bag that said, definitely not a bag full of drugs, and she got busted.
Wait,
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com.
For Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Sterling Every Damn Night, inspired by women's studies.
You're cranky because you need to get laid.
Sterling Every Night, study books, lusty books, get cozy with Thea Landon.
I'm smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere. Stephen didn't see her right away as he entered the clearing. Confused, he looked around, and his heart sank at the thought of not being with her. His concerns were dismissed as he heard a splash coming from the tall rock formation. Leora emerged from behind the waterfall. She waded toward him, the water lapping up against her waist. Her dampened ringlets lay plastered on her porcelain skin. Other than the errant curl and the metallic bangles around her wrists, there was nothing to obstruct his view of her nude body. She flashed him an enticing smile before diving beneath the surface of the water. Climbing on top of the stone where they usually sat, he watched as she reappeared and floated in the crystalline pool. He didn't need verbal instructions to know what he was expected to do. Bending down, he unlaced his boots and kicked them off. His socks followed before he straightened, and he glanced at his companion. She was treading water in the center of the pond, her gaze never leaving him. In front of anyone else, he would have been self-conscious, but he felt safe with her. He unbuttoned his shirt and shrugged it off his shoulders, letting it flutter to the grass. The clothing on the lower half of his body soon joined it, and he stood before her, exposed in the outside air. He sat on the edge of the rock and let his toes dangle in the water before easing his way in. The temperature was warmer than he expected, and he ducked his head underwater, pushing the loose strands of hair away from his eyes. When he resurfaced, he scrabbled around for solid ground with his feet while trying to stay afloat. His struggle did not go unnoticed, and she paddled back to the shallower end near the waterfall. He followed close behind, internalizing a sigh of relief when he felt the slick rock below him. Leora stood up and faced him, and he let his stare linger upon her once more, resolved to memorize every part of her while he still had time. Their inevitable separation forced its way to the foreground of his mind, and he wasn't going to be content with simply looking. He brushed away a lock of hair stuck to her cheek and tucked it behind her ear. With a hand on either side of her face, he kissed her, basking in the moment he had been waiting for since he last awoke. She flung her arms around his waist and pulled him closer to her. The cool mist rising from the glass-like surface encircled them, yet her skin was warm to the touch as she pressed up against him. Stephen slid a hand down to the small of her back to hold her as he kissed a trail to her collarbone and beyond. She writhed against him, and he stopped, remembering both the joy and heartbreak of their previous encounter, and terrified the fragile world of dreams they inhabited would shatter once more. Without speaking, he glanced up at her to raise his concerns and ask permission to continue. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon, and you're listening to an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. You can also hear the uncensored recordings over at patreon.com/thealandon, and don't forget you can always share your thoughts with me by emailing them to smuttythea@gmail.com. Now, let's continue. Leora stroked his hair and bit her lower lip. She nodded, and there was nothing in that instant he wouldn't risk in exchange for exploring her more intimately. He moved to return his lips to her skin, but thought better of it, and scooped her into his arms instead. Gliding through the pool, they crossed the waterfall into the small recess behind it, where he gently set her down on a stone slab at the water's edge. As soon as she was seated, she drew him in for another kiss. The heat of her mouth was irresistible to him, and he lost himself to the sweetness of her prodding tongue. Thoughts of his previous intentions found their way back to him, prompting him to resume his prior activities. Creeping himself up on the rock with his hands, he dragged his lips down her moistened skin, letting them linger. The rise and fall of her chest encouraged him to continue forth. Despite his own desires, he wanted nothing more than to bring her into a state of pure pleasure. With her entrance into his life, she had awakened something inside him, and he wanted to return some of that energizing fire. He kissed his way to her stomach, sliding his hand against her thigh. Caressing her delicate skin, he dipped his head even lower and nudged her legs apart with his cheek. He cast one last smoldering look up at her, staring into her pleading emerald eyes. Her body jolted against him, as if an electrical current had coursed through her, yet she didn't make a sound. Suspended by the water, he gripped the curve of her hips without letting up on his manipulations, refusing to let her escape him. His heart pounded, and his own nerves were ignited as he strove to incite ecstasy with his most intimate touch. Near his shoulders, her legs began to quiver. Never ceasing the broad strokes of his tongue, he shifted to glance upward and watch her reactions. Her eyes were closed, and her lips were parted. He could tell while she temporarily retained control of herself, it was slipping away from her with every passing moment. She clutched at the surrounding stone, but the smooth surface offered her nothing to hold on to. His hands reached for hers, and her throat bobbed as she tried to choke back a moan. Whatever power allowing them to be together could be disturbed in an instant, and he wasn't ready to lose her to the harsh glare of daylight just yet. Still, while her knuckles turned white as she grabbed at him, he knew she was on the brink of an explosion of bliss, and he couldn't deny her the gratification he wanted to share. He swirled his tongue around and increased his pressure, feeling the tremors racking her body. The sound of his name pierced the air again, this time in anything but a whisper. "Oh, unfortunately, I need to stop here for tonight. But you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, The Edge of the Sphere, which is available at Amazon and at thealandon.com. Or you could go listen to the uncensored excerpt at patreon.com/thealandon. If you have anything you'd like to share with me about what you just heard, you can email me at smuttythea@gmail.com. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
On Sterling Every Night, it's Florida Stories, Florida Stories.
For Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story.
All right, for our next Florida story, we have a husband and wife who got together a while back. They got married in Connecticut around 2003, and she is of Puerto Rican heritage, and I don't know if that contributes to how fiery she is, but she became so abusive that at some point he had to move out of the house that he himself was living in. He was able to get a divorce. They split up, and since she can't support herself, she had to go back and stay with some family in Puerto Rico. Well, they had rekindled their romance, and they were going to give it another try. They meet up in Florida. They're headed back to Connecticut to try and resume their married life. But they get into an argument in Clearwater, Florida. And at some point, there's a lot of alcohol involved. She beats him with a toy, with an adult toy. And so he has to, and it doesn't say where she hit him. That's up to your imagination. But the cops get there and he tells them, yeah, we have a history. She's done this before. They can see her priors. She, of course, is ragingly drunk. They have a hard time communicating with her. And eventually she did admit to using the toy on him. I mean, not just she hit him with it.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
We have a Florida man, 29 years old, a Florida woman, 53 years old. And they're over at the bus stop in front of a Wendy's restaurant adjacent to U.S. Highway 19. And they're caught doing what's called an unnatural act. Now, I don't know what that means, an unnatural act, because it sounds like it's probably something sexual, but isn't sex natural? I didn't go to law school. However, I don't want to dig too further in this one, because when you look in the mugshots, I'm having a hard time telling which one's which. I mean, they both kind of look like the dude. So maybe we're just better off not knowing what an unnatural act is in the eyes of the Florida law. Please, God, next story.
Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling Every Damn Night, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
A great way to end your day.